Welcome to Life Transformation Radio. This show is all about life transformations and our journey from where we were to why we are doing what we are doing today. We will discuss the hiccups, the roller coasters, and the blood, sweat, and tears that have been poured out while discovering our purpose. It is all about our transformations. Here is your host, Sean Douglas.
Welcome, my friends, to another episode of Life Transformation Radio. I'm your host, Master Resilience Implementer, TEDx Speaker, Performance Enhancement Expert, and author, Sean Douglas. This show is currently heard in over 58 countries, such as the US, India, Canada, France, Australia, Belgium, Panama, Scotland. So I want to thank you to those who are listening to us from around the world. Life Transformation Radio is all about our transformation. Here is where we tell the stories of why we're doing what we're doing. We highlight that transformational moment that has changed our lives and how we use this to help transform others and elevate their lives as well. You can listen to us Tuesday through Friday at noon Eastern Time. Join our Facebook community, Life Transformation Radio Community. You can also subscribe, rate, and review the show on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, TuneIn, Player FM, and the Google Play Music app. You can listen to us anywhere you feel comfortable listening to podcasts. On the show are entrepreneurs, speakers, business owners, coaches, podcasters, authors, and other content creators that are amazing at what they do and have an impact in the world around them. And my guest today does exactly that. If you have any question for any guests during our live broadcast, you can call in at 657-383-1109. Again, the number is 657-383-1109. Please help me welcome to the show, Stephen Bryant. What's going on, my friend?
Hey, Sean. Well, first of all, thank you for having me on the show. It's a great privilege to have gotten to know you before the show and know what you're doing. So today, I'm actually taking a day off from the grind. I am a executive assistant with Waypoints Community Association. It is an organization that helps women who are fleeing domestic violence. We also have a sexual assault program, opportunities for change, and domestic violence outreach. So we're in the community of Fort McMurray, Alberta, Canada. We're working on a 45-bedroom facility that will transform what we're at currently at is a 9-bedroom facility. And this will be kind of a state-of-the-art facility for these women who are fleeing domestic violence. On top of that, I have a radio show called Coach on Fire, High Performance Leadership, Stephen Bryant, that airs on Friday nights at 7 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. And as well that I'm working on a book right now. I'm a co-author on this book that will be published in September. And so all of this keeps me pretty busy.
Very cool. You know, the mission you're on is kind of near to my heart a little bit. I grew up in a domestic violence, alcohol-dominated household. So when I hear of, you know, fleeing women, battered women, you know, stuff like that, it just reminds me of what my mother went through when I watched her abused, you know, in front of the kids, you know. My stepdad was pretty bad. So, yeah, so, you know, anytime I hear stuff like that, you know, I just, I got a soft spot, you know.
Well, I do too, because I didn't go through that. I did go through parents that came from dysfunctional homes. As I look back, I see a lot of the things that probably I did miss out as a child. But at the end of the day, you know, it comes to a point where I can let that form me or decide that I'm going to be my own person and go out in this world and make change. And, you know, after I graduated from high school, I was kind of floating around, so to speak. I really didn't know what I wanted to do. I couldn't afford college. And I thought, well, gee, I'll work at, during school, I had worked as a bag boy at a super. And then I said, well, let's continue on with that. And it wasn't soon after that. I was into management, and actually in about had got to be a manager of a retail chain, and then decided this really isn't my passion. You know, I felt successful, but it wasn't my passion. And then I really started doing a lot of soul searching and, you know, what is my passion? There we go. And realized that I really wanted to help people. I wanted to help people be successful. I wanted people to feel that they were worth something. You know, that and so actually what happened was I got married about 3 years after high school, and then had two children by the time I was 25, and we moved to Canada. I pursued pastoral ministries. I wanted to be a pastor. So that's a little bit of the beginning of the journey, is what, sure. You know, what was the change? Yeah. What was the change? My passion really started driving me to do the things that I'm doing even now.
So what was your why? You know, everybody, I think everybody should have a deep why, and I say should, like, should's a bad word to me, but, you know, everybody needs a why. You have to have a why for what you do. So looking back over the years that you spent as a speaker in retail, as, you know, 20 years, you know, all that stuff. You know, because, I mean, you've done a lot, you know. So let me dive into this right quick and set the stage, right?
Sure.
So you are a John Maxwell certified coach, trainer, and speaker with years of experience in retail management in Maine and 20 years of pastoral ministry in New Brunswick and New Finland. During his ministry in St. John's, Newfoundland, he led chapel services for the Toronto Maple Leafs American Hockey League affiliate. Since his move to Fort McMurray, Alberta, Stephen has been serving in executive positions with two social profit agencies. You currently host your own radio program, Coach on Fire, High Performance Leadership with Stephen Bryant, which can be heard every Friday evening, 7 p.m. Mountain Standard Time on iHeartRadio. Currently working on a book project with several different authors, which is due to come out in September. You currently live in Fort McMurray, Alberta, with the wife, and have four children, three grandsons. By the way, all the listeners, all of the show notes, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, email, it's all right there. Find him at these links right there. Connect with him. The dude is amazing. So, yeah, I got to ask you, man, what is your why? Why did you become pastor? Why did you become a John Maxwell certified coach? What is your why for what you do?
It's kind of a two-pronged thing. And one, I really didn't realize it until the first part of it was when I was the executive director with the Center of Hope. Now, the Center of Hope is Fort McMurray's only daytime drop-in center for the homeless. So during the day that they can come in, they can take a shower, they can do their laundry, they can get a cup of coffee and a light snack. We have an outreach program that helps them get into detox center, helps them with long-term treatment, helps them set up with medical appointments, and as well as a Housing First program. So I remember one particular thing when I first started there. I was a Housing First coordinator. And I remember before we open up, we have this motivational talk. And at that particular time, before I became ED, our ED said this one thing that really just, I've never forgot about it, is the intrinsic value of every single human being. We're all placed on this planet for a reason. There's never one person that's been before us or ever will be after us. We are a one-of-a-kind person. And if we can do anything we can do to help even one person, and, you know, definitely you want to help as many people as you can, then it's all worth it.
Right.
Yep. I went to the certification event in Orlando back in March of 2016, one of the things that I learned from the Maxwell team, well, actually two things. One, John says that it's all about adding value. And then Jude and I had talked before the show. It's all about adding value to some. If I can add value to somebody else's life, then I feel like I've completed my mission in that one person's life. Again, you know, it's not just one person. I want to help as many people as I possibly can while I still on this planet. Uh-huh. And the other thing too about what I really appreciate about John, and it's interesting as you go to these certification events, you know, there's a whole bunch of hoopla, and then, you know, people come on stage before John and just talk about all the accolades, you know, that John's been this best-selling author of, you know, so many different books, the New York Times bestseller. He's just been on, I think at that particular time was just voted the number one leadership coach in the world. And then John just kind of saunters on stage. He says, "Hey, my name's John Maxwell. I'm your friend." And it's all about connection. And I think that's one of the things, actually, in this digital world that we live in, is we're really failing to connect. I mean, connect not only, you know, I would like to connect on a level of people, because that's when I really understand the core. But, you know, we fail to really connect with people. And it's one of the things that really bothers me. You know, a lot of people would just like to kind of stay to themselves. Mm-hmm. Now, not everybody, but I'm just seeing that trend. Although, you know, one of the things that I think that's a basic human need is that need to feel connected and feel loved, but we just don't know how to go about it.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah, I'd agree with that. Absolutely. So can you pick out a transformational moment that changed your life that then put you on the path to what you did or to what you're doing right now?
Well, there's been a couple of them, actually. One that I think the moment that brought me from retail management to pastoral ministry was back in the so we moved to Canada in 1988. A couple of years before, we were between pastors. I was in the church and they'd asked me to speak. So I spoke and I thought afterwards, and I get off the platform and I thought, oh, good grief, that was lousy. And this older lady, and I think she's in her 90s now, and she came up to me, she said, "Steve," she says, "I think you missed your calling." And I said, "Beth," I said, "you know, tell me a little bit more about what you mean." She says, I think you are meant to be a pastor." She said, "You got a great speaking voice. What I heard today was phenomenal. And I think you're great. You'll be great at just, you know, helping people." And that one moment was, to me, just a transformation into it. It took me about a year and a half to 2 years to really have that dream realized. But it was that seed that was planted, mm-hmm. and that started to germinate and started to grow. And I was trying to squash it and said, you know, this, no, I can't do this. But it was just one of those things that would just not would stop. It just continued to grow in my soul and my heart. But this is what I need to do. So that was one. And then after, some people would know about this. This was back in May, on May 3rd, 2016. Okay. The whole city of Fort McMurray, Alberta, was evacuated because of wildfires. So you're looking at 88,000. That was the number that was on social media. I think it was a little bit more. But 88,000 people were evacuated from the city of 2016. And, you know, coming back about a month later, there was a huge change in the atmosphere in town. There was this Fort Mac strong, you know, we'll get through this, but it's been a long process. And coming into about November of 2015, the year before, is when I decided that I'd like to start coaching people. And I talked to my wife about it, and she said, "Steve, I could tell that was your passion." And she said, "You know, go for it." And then at the same time, too, actually, I posted this picture this morning on my Facebook page about my transformation. So back in August of 2015, I had gone back to Newfoundland to perform the wedding ceremony of a young lady that was really good friends with my youngest daughters, and she invited me up. Remember the picture that we taken, and I was probably in the mid 230 range, and I was heavy, overweight. I felt tired, sluggish. And then I got on this nutrition system, which I signed up for in that year. And then at April 2016, because before the fire, I did a, I did this photo that's beside this other one. It was actually my nutrition coach that put the two pictures together. And to me, that was, I thought, oh, wow, there's something there. And I felt energetic and ready to take on the world. And that was a huge transformation for me. Excuse me. And so, of course, the fire happened the next month. Things started to change. And I thought, I really want this time to be able to do the coaching and training and to be on stage and talk to people about my life and what I have to offer. And I was currently at that time the executive director of the Center of Hope. And being executive director and having the passion I have for, you know, those who are in need, was putting in a lot of hours. And I did not have that time for that coaching. So I thought I needed a change. So after I came back from the fire, pretty much the first person I saw, there was one place open to eat because there were no grocery stores open at all. The food that we had come back to had rotted and, you know, had to throw it away. There's this one place that's open. So I went in, and the first person I saw was who's now my boss, Michelle Taylor. And so she said, well, you know, it's good to see you. Need to get together. So in September, we contacted each other again and said, you know, let's get together, see how things are going. And then she mentioned about her executive assistant was leaving. I said, oh, really? She said, yeah, I'm looking for somebody. I don't really know who to look for. And so I said, well, tell me a little bit more about the job. And everything about that job just seemed to set off the light bulb and saying, I could do that. And that would give me, and then what she said, that would give you the time that you want for your coaching. And, you know, to spend that extra time, you know, it's one of those jobs that is not going to be like my job, she said. And that will give you that time to do that. And she's been super in doing that, giving me that time when I needed that time to set up appointments or to speak to somebody. And so that's where I am today. I've been able to do that, still be able to have my hand in being a part of an organization that helps these women who are fleeing domestic violence, be able to spend that time on coaching and training. So it's, you know, as I look at those things, I think, wow, what a transformation since that I made that choice to follow, right, again, follow that passion that I had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I definitely resonate with that. Coming from abusing alcohol, I look at pictures back then, and you just put them side by side, and I look happier. You know what I mean? Now, than I did, you know, before. You know, there was things that I was battling, things that I was struggling, and you know, I think that everything has to play itself out the way it needs to play itself out, you know, because there's learning and there's growth. A lot of people avoid failure. They don't want to go through anything hard. They want to, you know, run away from it. And it's just, that's where that reminds me of learning comes from.
You're absolutely right. I thought of this quote. I thought it was an original quote and I was ready to put it down. I thought, well, maybe I better check this out. And sure enough, Henry David Thoreau beat me to it a long time ago. He said, the path of least resistance leads to crooked rivers and crooked men. And I said, yeah, okay. Okay, Henry. You beat me to that. But it is true. And I think one of the things that you touched on, Sean, is that people will not try something. One, it's probably too hard, or their fear of failure. Well, what if I fail? Read stories upon stories. You know, favorite ones is, you know, of Colonel Sanders, I think went to about 1,000 different places or people, and was trying to pitch this original recipe for his Kentucky Fried Chicken. Well, he finally made it, but he did not let failure stop him. Thomas Edison. I remember reading a little quote about Michael Jordan. I mean, Michael Jordan was cut from his high school basketball
team. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then he said, he says, the reason why I succeed is because I have failed.
Mm-hmm.
And people, I think, want an easy solution or easy riches. And it just doesn't, I mean, once in a while, people win the lottery, but it's hard work, perseverance, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears to get. I was listening to this coach this morning. And he said, you know, but if people look at our highlight reel and think, man, you know, how did he do that? Why can't I mm-hmm. do that? Well, and the highlight reel is what you don't see, is a lot of failure, a lot of times when you think, like, geez, I just like to give up, or I don't feel like doing it. And that's when discipline comes in. You know, I don't feel like doing it, but I know I have to do it. I got a friend in town who's what he calls a wild color artist, and some of his works have gone worldwide. And he's a fantastic guy. But I remember talking to him and doing an interview with him, and he said, you know, Steve, he says, a lot of times in the morning I get up, and he says, I don't feel like doing it, but I do, and I do it. And I keep at it, and because I've kept at it, I've become successful. So yeah.
Yep. Very true. They made a, and I tell this story during my speaking engagements. Anytime I'm speaking about this topic, I always bring this up in my presentation. They constructed a biodome in 1991 in Arizona. It was the perfect setting. Sun shining, the temperature was set right, everything was fertilized, everything was grown the way that it was supposed to be grown, lots of love, lots of water, lots of cultivating, the soil was the best. They grew these huge trees, these big, like red oaks or redwoods or whatever, huge trees, massive trunks. And they said, this is the perfect environment, this is where everybody should live. We want to duplicate this. Well, one day they walked out to the tree and pushed it over. This huge 3, 4, 5, 7-story tree just falls right over. And they couldn't figure out why. Because there was no wind. And because there was no wind, it didn't strengthen the roots. And because it didn't strengthen the roots, they were only surface deep. So because it was surface deep, the tree did not withstand any resistance at all. If it felt resistance, it fell over. And they concluded that if you created the perfect environment, if you created the paradise where there's, you know, outside of heaven anyways, but there's no, you know, there's no wind, there's no stress, there's no anxiety, like there's nothing, right? Nothing bad ever, people would die. There's no... Because if you came up to something hard, you wouldn't be able to solve the problem. And they walked over to all these trees, and all, like everything, the plants, the grass, the everything they grew, it was weak. Everything was weak. They grew huge, massive plants, massive trees, but you could just push them right over. Because there's no wind. There's nothing strengthening everything. There's nothing anchoring it. So I thought that was pretty interesting. Mm.
I think that's a great story and a great illustration. I should say it's not a story; it's a reality. But and that's life. I mean, the things that we go through in life. A lot of the strongest people I know have been through the toughest things that you can imagine, and they've come through them. And I think that's one of the things that, among other things, that when I was with at the Center of Hope. And listening to the stories of these people that had gone through a real living hell in their life. I remember one guy in particular, there was a bit of a kerfuffle. Well, I'll put that mildly, a little bit more than that. But, and I had to say, listen, you have to leave. And that he had a rough life. He had the cauliflower, ears, and his nose had been broken about 3 places. And he looked at me and he says, I'm going to kill you. Pointed right at me.
Wow.
And then Then 2 weeks later, he's up in my office, and I'm thinking, because he wanted to talk to me, I'm thinking, oh, how's it
going
to go? So, so my door is closest to the, my chair is closest to the door, just in case. But he sat there, and he just started crying like a baby. And I understood at that point why they were in that. And as we started talking, see this person start getting a little bit more confident and realize that there is somebody that is interested in him, that there is somebody that wants to hear his story. And there have been countless others like that that I've come across that have said, hey, Steve, and I have to do a double take. And I said, oh, my goodness. I'm like, oh, gee, this is the person that, 3 years ago that was not in good shape. So they are who they are today because of the things that they've gone through. There's no perfect environment. And as you were just related that illustration is that's how we grow. And through the trials and tribulations, the tough times that we have to face that. And I'll tell you, Sean, that I am the person that I am today because I've gone through not like a lot of these people have, but I have faced trials with my children and sicknesses and dealings with people. It's not easy. And like a person said to me, how did you gain all this experience? And I said, it's life experience. And it's the difficult times that I've grown and have some insight into some things. I don't have insight into all things, but I can definitely have some insight into some some things that are pretty close to people's hearts.
Very cool. I like that. So what is it that you do now and what do you enjoy most about it?
I think one of the things that, again, with my work, the thing that I enjoy, one, it is a top-notch organization. The executive director there is probably, is known in the community as probably the top ED in town. I've learned a lot from her and her leadership just watching because I share the same office with her. So a lot of times I'll be working away and she says, Steve, can I talk to you for a minute? And he'll turn the chair around and we'll talk about some things and just to see how she deals with other people, because there are people coming into her office a lot. And I ask her, do you want me to head up? No, she says, stay here and just listen to the conversations. I pick up some things about on her leadership style, which I really like. And so that's the thing I like about my job. The other thing too is having a positive influence with others within our building, because we have four different facilities within the one organization. Now with the new facility that's coming up in the middle of September, when we when we take it after the construction's done, is that some of these will be combined. But having that opportunity to be with a leader in the organization has been phenomenal for me. So that's one of the great things I enjoy about what I'm doing. And then the overall thing of being a help to these women and their children, in helping them provide a safe haven and helping them to, get a new start on life. So I really love that. The other thing I love about my life is the fact that, I have this opportunity to do things like this and talk with you, Sean. And to my radio show as well. I enjoy listening to people, connecting with people, and even during these shows that I do, that I'm still learning. I try to listen as much as I can to what they're saying, and I've picked up on so many different really cool things in just listening to people talk. So this is what I mean. We're talking about a little bit before about living the dream. Well, yeah. I'm living the dream, in a good way. Am I rich and sitting beside sitting poolside by a, $10 million home? No, I'm not. But at the end of the day, am I happy? Yes, I'm happy. Do I feel loved? Yes, I feel loved. Do I feel like I'm making a difference in society? Yes, I do. So, yeah, so I'm living the dream.
Yeah, very, very cool, man. I love what you're doing. I love the way that you portray it. You know, I don't know if anybody's ever told you that, but nice. I love that. Like, I can feel the passion coming through, and you're like, oh, I love this. And I like you want to get it out there. You want to tell the world, like, guys, this is what I'm doing, and I love what I do. Because I feel that if you love what you do, you don't work. Like, it's not work. You don't work a day in your life if you love what you do. When I'm on stage, man, I'm at home. Like, I love being on stage and you know, inspiring the audience. And, you know, if I was funny, I would definitely be an amazing stand-up comedian, but I'm totally, totally not funny.
Well, here's another thing, Sean. Once in a while, I still, because of my pastoral experience, I still get asked to preach now and then. And that, I know, when you were just saying that, I know exactly what you're saying, because a lot of people say, well, Steve, do you still get nervous when you go up? And I said, yeah, I do. I said, the butterflies still come in the stomach. And I'm thinking, okay, you know, I've got a pretty good idea how I'm going to start off and where it's going to go. But it's almost like when I get up on stage, I get animated and things come to me. Things come to your mind. I don't know if with you, but I things come to my mind. I thought, where in heck did that come from? And you know, after I get done, Patty, my wife, came up to me after the last time I spoke, probably about a week or 2 weeks ago. She said, this person came up to me and says, I just love what Steve has to say. So, yep. when somebody tells you or tells your wife, it's even better when they tell my wife. And so that just, so it comes back to this, Sean, is that you know that you are meant for something when you have that type of feedback. But not only the feedback, is the feeling that you have when you do it. Is that sense of, you know, I can leave work at the end of the day and think, I did what I needed to do and I feel good about it. And I don't have to think about work the rest of the day. I can, you know, put my mind and my thought pattern towards, you know, the other things that I'm doing, which really, again, it comes back to this whole thing about having this fulfilled life. And, you know, there's so much more that I want to do, but again, that will come. However it comes, we'll see. But again, really excited about what's happening. And I that's the other thing too, is can I pass on this passion that I have to you? And that's about, you know, what we've talked about is as far as adding value. Can I impart that passion to you? And maybe as I'm listening to that person's, you know, thing, have you ever thought about this? Actually, you know, the other day I got on LinkedIn, this person saying, you know, can you give me some help? And they were talking about what they did and so on. I said, did you ever think about public speaking? Because they've been in the entertainment industry. And I said, do you ever think about, you know, that avenue of, you know, maybe setting up a mastermind or doing some public speaking there? I said, well, no, gee, I never thought of that. I've spoken at this and that. I said, well, just pursue that. So I'm kind of waiting to hear back from and see, what have you done? So again, it comes back to adding value to a person's life.
Yeah. And we talked about this at the beginning of the show. I'm pretty sure we didn't talk about it just now, but talking about at the beginning of the show, you know, right before we jumped on, adding value to someone's life, you know, anytime someone friend requests me, I'm like, hey, you know, happy to connect with you. How can I be of value to you or at least support you in what you're doing? And most of the people receive it. They're like, wow, never been asked that before. Thank you. Wow, that's really great. Here's what I'm working on. You know, what do you think? You know, and then there's those one or two people that are like, go away. I'm not buying anything. You're so spammy. I'm like, by supporting you? What? I'm not buying. I don't have anything to sell. What am I going to sell? I'm not going to pimp my own self out. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have anything to sell you. I just I just really want to be of value. Like, I would rather be a valued person than a person of success. You know what I mean?
I would agree with you. I hear what you're saying, and I agree with you, Sean. Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, I think that in the age of, and I call them Facebookianaires or Facebook, I call them Facebookianaires and there's one other one. But anyway, it's so funny because everybody's like a Facebook coach now. Like I don't know if it's just what I surround myself with or what, but like everybody has the answer. Like when you talk to people, you know, like everybody has the answer. Like, oh, I've been coaching for years. Who's your last client? Don't have one yet.
Yeah, I heard the story too that this guy had asked this guy, he said, so you do coaching? And the guy says, yeah. He said, so what are you doing now? He says, well, I'm actually digging trenches for cable lines for this, you know, cable company. And so he says, you don't have any coaching clients? No, but I've been a coach for a year. So,
right.
You know, one of the things, yeah, I know. So one of the things that what I want to try to do is, you know, it comes back. I may sound like a broken record, but how can I add value? So, you know, I like I said before, I don't have all the answers. But if I take the time, and here's one of the keys that I really learned in my time with the Center of Hope, is the key is listening. Okay.
Yeah.
The answer for one person may not be the answer for another person. And as you listen to people, there's an interesting thing I learned actually part of my training in through the Center of Hope was indigenous training, because the culture there is very respectful. And so, and a lot of times what they'll do is if there's a group, they have what they call a talking stick. And the person who has the talking stick talks. Nobody else talks. You do not talk unless you have the talking stick. And the other thing that I learned is a pause in the conversation. Like, you know, we're so fast-paced in the North American culture is that when there's a pause, we feel like that, you know, we've got this chance to give, you know, our feedback or what we want to say. But in listening to somebody who's indigenous, is a pause means that they're gathering their thoughts for the next few sentences. And when they're done, they'll tell you that they're done, because I made that mistake once. And he says, I'm not done. I said, I'm sorry. I said, you're absolutely right. So again, it's that art of listening. And it's an interesting thing too, because when you start listening to people, they start gravitating towards you. And I found this in my experience. If you're taking the time to listen, because everybody has a story.
Right.
Everybody has a story. And a lot of people have never had that opportunity to tell their story. Because, again, this fast-paced life, and we're so interested about promoting ourselves that we don't take the time to listen to other people. In fact, I just a Facebook post by one of my classmates had just moved from Connecticut back to Maine, and this person stopped by, and she says, I don't know why this person stopped by, because the 10 minutes that she was there, I thought it was, you know, a time to get caught up, and, you know, all she did was talk about herself and tell me how old I looked. I just thought, oh,
wow.
My goodness sakes, this is not. But, you know, coming back to so when I first started so I moved from Housing First, where I actually had clients that were assigned to me, to Outreach, where, you know, people would decide, say, oh, yeah, I want to talk to Steve. So there was another, or she still works there, actually. Her name is Rosie, but everybody wanted to see Rosie. And so I came on, and nobody wanted to see me. And because everybody wanted to go see Rosie. So one time and I can't remember who it was, but they came out, and I did. I probably was up there for a full hour and just listened to what they had to say. And there was a couple things that I made some phone calls to help them out with. I think, you know, it might have been a prescription or something of that nature. I really can't remember now. But after that, that word started getting around. I said, you know what, you want to talk to somebody? You know, talk to Steve. He listens. And so then, that load came off Rosie. There are still people that would, that's the only person they want to talk to. But the client, so to speak, clientele, I hate to use that word, but started coming and really good rapport with these people they would ask for. So again, it comes back to this, Sean, is to take that time. If you want to be a good coach, be a good listener. Be a good listener. And it comes back to the other thing I said, is that what's good for one person, or what will work for one person, may not work for another person. I mean, there's certain non-negotiables that you've got to work hard. You've got to have discipline. You've got to do it when you don't feel like you want to do it. But listen, listen to what they have to say.
Very cool. That's a great, great tip. Got to be a good listener. I see that sometimes, because I know for me, if I hear somebody struggle, like I don't know where to get booked, and I'm like, I want to jump in and go, oh my God, I know how to fix that problem. I know how to fix it. You know, like, have you ever seen the It's Not About the Nail video?
It's Not About the Nail. No, I haven't.
So everybody listening right now, as soon as you're done with the show, YouTube, It Is Not About the Nail. Got to YouTube this. So the video is a husband and wife sitting on the couch, and all you see is her, okay? And she says, it's relentless. I feel it every day. I don't think it's going to end. That's the thing that scares me the most. Is I don't think this pain is ever going to go away. And she turns her head, and there's a nail in her forehead. And the guy goes, well, you do have a nail in your head. She goes, it is not about the nail. And I don't know. You got that thing out of there. She goes, you always do this. You always do this. I want you to listen, and all you want to do is fix it. And he's like, no, I don't think that's what you need. I need the nail. So you're doing it now. See, you're not even listening now. He's like, fine, I'll listen, fine. Oh, my sweaters are snagged. Just, I don't understand. It's just this achy pain right here in this area. I don't know what it is. He's like staring at the wall. He's just like, that sounds tough. And she goes, it is. Thank you.
Oh, my God.
The video is just so funny. And I teach a class called Good Listening and Active Constructive Responding. And you should see the married couples in this class look at each other and go, that's you.
Yeah, we like to place the blame. We don't look at ourselves, but that's good.
Oh, man, it's so funny. But yeah, man, when you were talking about listening, I was like, dude, that's huge. That is so huge. So, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that I have learned so much from that training. Is listening, and the pause doesn't give me opportunity to kind of, but to really listen and listen intently. For me, a lot of people will listen with the intent to respond. For me, to listen is with the intent of learning. What can I learn about that person? You know, what are their pain points? And what are their pain points? And maybe the nail in the head. But you know, we talk a lot of this when I look into the coaching world and hear people talk about pain points. What are the pain points? And actually, I've talked with a couple of millennial entrepreneurs, and I said, what are your pain points? And it's interesting that more than one has come back and said it's fear. That is. I think a lot of it maybe is that they want to do something and have instant success. Now I may be totally off the tracks, but you know, what if I fail? And I think, and it comes back to my early days of being a perfectionist. And that was one of the killers for me, is that I wouldn't attempt something unless I knew I could do it right. And not only do it right, but be perfect in doing it. So, you know, a lot of my work at school was, you know, especially when it came to penmanship, I took top honors here and there and everywhere with penmanship. And this, geez, they don't even teach that. They don't even teach that writing anymore. But anyway, it's that type of mindset that actually gave me an ulcer when I was 10 years old. My doctor kind of pinpointed. But, you know, coming back to, I think I got off on a sidetrack there, but in the sense of what we had talked about before is the pain point is fear and how do you overcome fear. But again, that comes from just listening to what they have to say.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Totally agree with that. So let's shift gears real quick and talk about influencers. Who do you follow? Who's your influencers? You have mentors, you know, who do you, are you a Gary Vee guy, Tony Robbins, you know, what are some of the people that, that stick out?
Okay. I'll have to give top marks to John Maxwell. And it's interesting.
I would hope so.
I might get kicked off the team if I didn't say that. No, I just get it.
Right.
Yes, definitely Tony Robbins. I'm going through a book for the second time that my daughter, one of my daughters gave me. She knows I love to read. In fact, she said probably one of the best compliments I've ever had from one of my children is, she said, Dad, we're driving the car. She said, Dad, she said, you're probably one of the few people that I can really have an intelligent conversation with. And I thought, wow, that's something coming from, you know, and at that time, she'd probably... oh, probably 17 or 18 years old. And she's doing well for herself. She works with an ad agency that their clients are like MasterCard and Chevrolet and doing quite well. But it was one of those moments, too, that showed that I was really making an impact on not only people, but my own children's lives. But coming back to Tony Robbins, so my nutrition company put on a celebration event in Las Vegas last year. And the guest was Tony Robbins.
Wow.
Tony Robbins spoke for 4 hours straight.
Jesus.
4 hours straight. And I'm looking at my watch after the end, and I said, that is the fastest 4 hours that I've ever experienced. I thought I could listen for another couple hours. Just give me a chance to go to the bathroom for a second and then come back. We'll go for another. But it was amazing what he said, because I felt at a lot of times when he was speaking, that I was the only person there. I was the only person in a room full of thousands of people, that I was the only person, and he was speaking directly to me. And at the beginning, it did an exercise that I use a lot when I'm speaking to people, just to get that an attention grabber, but it really gets them focused on themselves and that opportunity to listen to speaking. So John Maxwell, Tony Robbins, started to pick up a little bit on Bob Proctor. I've got some personal mentors who are part of the John Maxwell team, John and Colette Coles, who are just amazing people that have really been helpful to me. And what they don't tell me what to do, they suggest paths to go down. So they're fantastic people.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. Yeah, I like Gary Vee. I like, you know, Simon Sinek and Michael Port, who is an amazing speaker. I like, let's see who else. Gary Vee, Tony Robbins, Grant Cardone. You know, I read a book by Michael Port called Steal the Show. And Steal the Show is a book about how to win over like job interviews, how to be an amazing speaker, how to win, like you're always on stage. That's like the theme of the book. So that's the main part about that book is steal the show, how to win over like job interviews, how to win over like when you're on stage, you know, and how to become like that front runner, you know. And I used that book whenever I was in my first play as Brick, Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. I was never to play before, and I read that book and then auditioned for the play, and I got it. And I got it just by reading that book. I ended up getting it, and super pumped. Super pumped for that. But yeah, there's a couple different ones that I like. You know, Grant Cardone's a good one. You know, there's a couple different books that I've read, like Christopher Lockhead is probably one of the ones that I follow the most. His show is called Legends and Losers, and he has a book called Play Bigger: How Pirates, Dreamers, and Innovators Create and Dominate Markets. And wow. His business strategy is called category design. So you have to design a legendary product, a legendary company, combined with the legendary category that you choose. And category design is all about designing a problem that only you can solve. It's cornering the market by designing a problem that only you can solve. So if you tell me, like, yeah, man, I can make you a high-performance coach. I really don't have that problem. I can make you $1 million. Yeah, I don't have $1 million, so that's kind of a problem. You know what I mean? Like, if somebody said, hey, man, I offer financial peace, I'm like, I already have financial peace. I offer a way for you to invest money so that you have a retirement peace. I'm like, ooh, I don't have that. You see what I'm saying? So it's all about creating the category and marketing the problem, not the solution.
Sean, I lost you there for a second. Are you still there?
Yeah, I got you.
Okay. I don't know what happened, but anyway.
All good.
I'm going to get back on this call.
All good. I was just talking about, like Grant Cardone is a good one. Gary Vee, Tony Robbins, Simon Sinek, Seth Godin, Michael Port, that I love the book Steal the Show. Love that. But yeah, that's
what I
want to people, you know.
I heard some good things about that Steel Show.
Yeah. Oh, dude, it's amazing book. Anybody wants to be a speaker has to read that book. And then my mentor is John Vroman, who wrote the book Front Row Factor. You know, living life in the front row, and he has a nonprofit called the Front Row Foundation, where he takes children and adults that are facing a life-threatening illness, who are terminally ill, and takes them to any front row experience of their choosing. Kind of like Make-A-Wish, but like only for events.
Right.
So to a concert, to a football game, a soccer game, whatever event, you know, Disney on Ice, you know, whatever event that they choose, they get to go meet the singers, the whoever, right? They get to meet the people. They took one guy to the UFC fight. You got to meet Dana White. That was pretty cool. Took a 4-year-old to meet Kelly Clarkson or Kelly Pickler.
I saw that. I think I saw that one.
Yeah, her name is Sophie. And then, took somebody to meet, sit at the 50-yard line behind the Denver Broncos bench, you know, front row, you know, Pink, Bon Jovi, any concert, you know. So that's my mentor, and he's amazing at what he does. So I believe that you have to have a mentor who is living the life that you want to live and are doing the things that you want to do at the level you want to do it at. That's who you follow.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely.
Yeah. Yep. So as we, I think I lost you. Steven, you still there? Oh, there
I'm still here. Yep.
Yeah, I was like, wait a minute.
One of the books that I picked, the certification event, and actually I bought a number of copies and given them away, and actually my human resource director, not mine, but the organization's human resource director, you got talking about leadership. You're very much interested. And I said, I'll tell you what, I got a book to loan you. And it's John Maxwell's Intentional Living. And I think one of the things that come about through this book is that a lot of people live life like they're adrift on the sea. You know, I kind of go with the flow and see what happens. But when we become intentional about what we do, I think that's when the results start taking place. We tend to focus better. We tend to discipline ourselves better. And with Tony Robbins, it's you know, I like the way that he talks about in connecting with people. So, you know, these are, again, two of my top ones. But it's always good to hear some new ones. And when we get down the show, Sean, just send me a list of some of these ones that you've talked about because I want to get my hands on them too.
Definitely. Yeah. So what does it mean to be a high performing leader? Is there like a, I guess everybody would know what a low performing leader is, but what does it mean to have high performance leadership? What does that look like?
Well, high performance leadership is a type of leadership that people want to gravitate towards. I think people are probably keen enough to know that what low performance looks like. You know, that there is not, there's not a lot of value added. There's not a lot of time spent with that person. And you and I were talking about somebody earlier that you know, you kind of get a feeling after a while what their real intent is. And it may not actually be the coaching or the leadership. It may mean more about them, and putting money in their pockets. Definitely I want to make a living through this, but I'm not, you know, looking to, you know, bankrupt somebody else to be able to get into what I have to offer. And I think when it comes back to adding value to your life, finding out what your passion is, working with you, being a mentor to you. I had a really interesting conversation with somebody at breakfast, maybe about a month and a half ago. And I said, you know, He was a youth pastor, and I said, you know, through seminary and all your training, what is the one thing that you feel is missing in your growth? And he said, somebody that can just kind of put their arm around me and say, hey, listen, I understand you, I want to help you, and I will be there for you. That to me is high performance, because you, not only are they investing in you, and they're, you know, definitely, I mean, we'll be realistic about it. There is a cost to it, but I want them to see not the price that they have to pay as a cost, but an investment into their future. And I will do my very, and I think my track record over, you know, I've been in what I've been in for, you know, since I've started working as a bag boy at a grocery store, you know, I've been around the sun enough times to, you know, to recognize what I do have. And I think I do have a lot to offer, and I will put everything into it. My work ethic is good. It's been proven time and time again. In fact, this last job, I never interviewed it. We talked over a dinner at Earl's, and she said, you're hired. Boom. And that was it. my reputation from my previous job was, you know, was outstanding in the community. And she went on who I was as a person. She knew me. She knows me even better now. But, you know, and my reputation with other people in the community were saying about me. And so I can bring that to the coaching, you know, the coaching platform. So to me, that's high performance. Somebody who is invested in the person that wants to be coached.
Huh. There you go. I think that the high performance leadership also is building other leaders.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's number one for me.
Yeah. I would agree with 100% on that, Sean. I'm glad you added that as well. Here's the thing. And I've seen this is that, not too often, but others putting others down. I said, well, no, you don't want to, you know, deal with that person. However, you know, it goes back to the, it's very simple, is that if we help each other, we all become successful. And that's really, that's what I want. I want everybody to be successful, but you got to work at it, and you've got to help people be better, and other coaches too. Definitely.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely, man. I just, when I think of so many bad leaders I've had over the years in the military, man, I just, it's always the same thing. You know, they're all worried about themselves. They're all worried about, you know, what's in it for them. How am I going to get promoted? How am I going to, you know what I mean? And it's like, you're the higher ranking dude. Like, your job isn't so much like the mission overarching. Your mission is like people, like the brand new people coming into the military, whatever, like, your job is mission. You don't have people. Your job is mission. You make this happen. As you get up in rank, your job is to make sure that the people are making the mission happen. Like, that's, you know what I mean? And it doesn't happen. Well, it's just like, get out of my way. I'll just do it because I know how to do it.
I have a brother who's 25 years in the U.S. Air Force as well. And it's interesting because we've had those same conversations.
It just, oh, it makes me so mad. Like, I'm not even joking. I just, man, it makes me so mad. Like, I look and I'm like, you just know, like, I don't know, because I've read a lot of John Maxwell books, probably, I mean, not all 70 something of them, you know what I mean? My favorite one is 21 Laws of Leadership. All-time favorite book, 21 Laws of Leadership. That is the foundation of what a leadership should be. But I've also facilitated in the military. I facilitated his Failing Forward, Everyone Communicates, Few Connect. You know, those two are amazing. You know, but it's just like, you can look at what, and there's a joke in the military, right? There's a joke in the military that says, oh, he's a good leader. He's going to get PCS somewhere. He's going to get sent somewhere. They're going to hide him. Like, you know, the people that I want to work for, they're going to go away. Like, you can't take care of your people. You can't take care of your people. Just tell your brother that. Like, you can't take care of your people. What's wrong with you?
I remember, you know, it's interesting that you said that, Sean, because it automatically made me think of one person that I would go back to. And his name was Dick McKean. And Dick was one of these guys. He said, I know I'm flashy. I wear the jewelry and all that. And he did. He had a lot of the, you know, the bracelets on the wrist and the neck chain, but really very astute leader. He was our district manager when I was working in retail. And I remember one particular time he said, let's go have some lunch and just listen to him. And one of the things that really stuck out in my mind was he believed in me. He told me, he said, I believe in you, Steve. You know, and when somebody knows that you believe in them, boy, that makes a big change. If they're really serious about, leadership and they stick to it, and it comes back to the coaching another, he said, listen, I believe in you. Boy, that's a big thing. I mean, for me anyway, to know that somebody believes in me. And boy, that has been the thing that is through the tough times. And when you want to give up, you think about your purpose, your passion, why you're doing it. And it keeps you going.
Yep, absolutely. So as we start to close the show, we'll do a shameless plug. You can plug your friends, quotes, websites, Facebook, products, movies, whatever you want, favorite food. This is your time to shine. Shameless plug.
Okay, well, shameless things. I don't know why I thought of this, but when the Bourne, one of the Bourne movies comes on, you know, the Bourne trilogy, mm-hmm. and my wife goes, oh no, you want to watch that again, don't you?
I'm the same way with Rocky. If there's a Rocky marathon on, I'm like, babe, we can't go anywhere.
I like Rocky too. Favorite meal would be a surf and turf.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Favorite drink, chocolate milk. I love chocolate milk. There's a story I'll tell someone another time about chocolate milk.
No problem.
let's see. My passion, what I'm not doing, what I'm doing is, it's my self-care time is photography. And if you want to go to my photography page, it's at, if you're on Facebook, at Stephen Bryant Photography. And I've got, you'll recognize it, about a month ago, I went out to Vancouver Island and went on a sailboat throughout the islands, and a great sailing trip. A leadership trip. And we parked at a place called Dinner Cove. And as the sun set, I mean, there were bald eagles all over the place. And as the sun set, I said, come up on the deck, you know, and you come up and there's a beautiful sunset. So that's, you'll see that. So that will be the indicator there. So that's my passion, Stephen Bryant Photography. You can reach me on a different number of social media platforms. Stephen Bryant on Facebook. It's the guy with a Hawaiian shirt in front of a red T-bird. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on Instagram as Pastor Man. I have to go back to the days I was a pastor when I set up that account. So sure. Pastor Man 07. Again, talking about movies, James Bond movies. I don't know how I came up with that. That's where you can find me on Instagram, Pastor Man 07. And then on Twitter, Steve Bryant 007. Those are the social media platforms that you can find me on. And shamelessly, plug on Facebook, I have a coaching group, High Performance Coaching with Steve Bryant. So just type in that, High Performance Coaching with Steve Bryant, and you can find me there. Sean, you should post something on there because I'm always looking at leaders. Max Scherer. Posts on there once in a while. My coach, the founder of Coach on Fire Radio, Michael Brooks, sometimes posts on there, and want to be able to give that platform not only to me but for other coaches. And as we were talking before, Sean, it's about coaches promoting other coaches as well.
Yeah,
we all succeed in doing that. I'm trying to think what else.
Very cool. Yeah, rising tide lifts all ships, man.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm going to promote our website at Waypoint, www.waypointswb.ca. I think there's some pictures on of the new facility that's being built up here in Fort McMurray, the 45-bedroom shelter that's going to be opening up. I think our grand opening, it hasn't been definite, but probably first mid-October. Phenomenal place that's going up. That will be a real beacon of light in this community for those who are fleeing domestic violence. And again, that's I'll probably get off the show and think of, oh shoot, I should have said that. I have four wonderful children stretched across Canada from she just moved from Newfoundland, so I have two children in, I've got a son out in Halifax, Nova Scotia, two in Toronto, and one here, and her husband, two grandchildren in Fort McMurray, Alberta. So, again, family is very important to me, and again, I love talking about them. So,
very
there
cool.
You go. Steve
All right, perfect. So as we wrap up, can you deliver your best nugget of knowledge that will motivate, transcend, and inspire someone to take action today?
Yeah, it goes back to this quote that I have from C.S. Lewis, and I love reading C.S. Lewis. And his transformation as well, it would be good to look up the history of C.S. Lewis. But it comes back to a lot of people, even say maybe at 30 or 35, saying, I'm too old to do something new. And it comes back to the C.S. Lewis quote, you are never too old to set a new goal or to dream a new dream.
Mm-hmm.
And as I say that, friends, if you're listening, really take some time over Friday, take the weekend to really do some refocusing, rethinking about what you really want in life. Are you living your passion? And only then, I really feel that you can be satisfied. So what is your passion? If you want to contact me or contact Sean, you know how to do it. We're both ready to be able to help. But really think about that. What is it I really want out of life? And don't just let life dictate to you what you're going to do. So
yeah,
there's my two cents.
Absolutely. Very cool, man. Hey, Stephen, I want to appreciate you and your time. And this has been an amazing, amazing episode. So thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for inviting me, Sean, and wish you all the best in your coaching career. And thank you again for your service to the United States of America country, my birthplace, my love, and all the best to you and your family.
Thank you, brother. You too. So
all right.
Life Transformation Radio. You too, brother. Another amazing guest, another impactful episode. If anything has resonated with you, please, the email address is right there for Stephen Bryant. Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, it's all right there. Connect with him. Join the Facebook group, Coach on Fire, High Performance Leadership with Stephen Bryant. There's a Facebook group for that. We're all in there. High Performance Coaching with Stephen Bryant. The page, you got to connect. I'm telling you, you got to connect. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, TuneIn, Player FM, and the Google Play Music app. And also check out Stephen Bryant's radio program, Coach on Fire, High Performance Leadership with Stephen Bryant on iHeartRadio. As I close, I always say, it's what?
It's on Spotify too now.
Spotify. Perfect.
Heard that.
There you go. I'm not on Spotify. I probably should be, but I'm not.
We'll get you on, everybody.
Right. So as I close the show, I always say, live your brand. Find opportunities every day to live out the core values that you hold deep in your heart. I call that living your brand. So until next episode, have a great day.